don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, weeknights, things will be better. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson. Sports Night with Parker.
Yes, it is the Parker and the Man podcast for the week of February 10th, 2014. Final day of the winter blast, if you were heading downtown. And I know you were. Come on, it's a nice little event. The people gather. They go skating. They go on the thing. And they go down to Marshall's Campus Park or whatever it's called, Campus Marshes, and do their little. Rob, remember the year we did that? We did the first one, didn't we? And we were freezing our asses off.
It was very cold. We went into one of the tents. Remember, they had the blowers. We had to go in there because we were so cold.
But we forgot one thing, that our feet were on cement. And, I mean, even if you had heavy boots, and I had like two pairs of socks on, you still were like, I couldn't feel my toes.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was bad.
I said, hopefully they'll get it later when they'll put something down there. But here we are complaining about our free food at the Winter Blast. But so anyhow, I wake up today and I'm thinking we're going to do a podcast because we still have Super Bowl stuff on the most recent one. And as I just said, and John Davis is here too. I said to these guys, I said, boy, doesn't it feel like a year ago, not a week ago? So we wanted to clear out, have a new podcast anyhow. But it was going to be kind of a nothing, kind of an innocuous week coming up. I mean, the Tigers are going back in, you know, to Lakeland and pitchers and catchers report. We'll get to that later. It's a guy we have. Pretty much like no Lions stuff. It'd be Lions free for the first time on the podcast since we started it back in August. You know, NFL news, not really much. NBA, so we're going to do NBA. We'll do the thing. But I figure we'll probably hit the Olympics a little bit. Even though Rob hates it, I did some viewing.
The Luge?
I watched The Luge, John Davis. So I said, let's not get into all that now. But I said, I'll be at least able to offer my perspective on some of the better parts of the Winter Olympics. And then what happens today? Out of the blue, Maurice Cheeks gets fired after 50 games as head coach of the Pistons. It's the fifth shortest tenure in the history of the NBA for a first-year head coach. Fifth shortest. I'll give you the other four later. But, Rob, you were at the game last night, Saturday night, against the Nuggets. Back-to-back blowout wins. First roll over the Nets and then over Denver. Things looking okay, 21-29 after 50. They're on the cusp of a playoff spot. It's nothing major. The world hasn't come to an end, even though they're 21-29. What did you think? Before I say that, was there any indication last night at the Palace that this was going to happen, this was imminent the next day?
No. I mean, to be honest, there's no way you could think about it. When a team has won 4 of 6, back-to-back blowout wins over decent teams, right? Plus the idea, Mark, that you have Spurs team coming in on Monday that's, so-so, got some injuries or whatever. And then you got Cleveland and Charlotte after that. You have a chance to put together a streak, and they have a streak of 8 of 9 at home.
Well, and the All-Star break is coming up.
Exactly. So none of that. I just didn't see that as coming because I said before the season they would be the sixth seed. Mark, not only are they a half a game out of the eighth playoff spot, they're 5 games out of the third spot in the Eastern Conference.
Well, the other thing they did last night after the last 2 games by piling up 111 and then 126 is they became a team, only 4 teams now in the East. I told this to John earlier. Only 4 teams in the NBA Eastern Conference are averaging 100 or more a game. The Pistons now are averaging 100.6 with those 2 wins. There are 12 teams in the West that average 100 or more a game. These were the things I was looking at, and then all of a sudden, bang, bing, boom, hello, how do you do? Mo Cheeks is gone. Now, the genesis of this is, last week we talked about it on the podcast, Tom Gores comes out with some kind of, I don't know if they were ill-timed, but And you said it best to me. You said, look, if you're going to ask the guy a question, he's got to give you an answer.
Got to give you something. That's all I said to you. Then I said, yeah. What kind of owner is going to say, oh, he's happy with the way things are? At that point, they were losing. I had no issue with what he was saying.
Then the Will Bynum thing happened, where he and Bynum got into a little tiff, and Bynum kind of, frankly, questioned his authority, and Bynum didn't regret it, didn't apologize really for it. So I said, that was kind of strange, too. However, if someone would have told me last night, before the All-Star break this week, that Maurice Cheeks was about to be fired, to me it sounds like there's something else there. Like, well, the guy that they got just wasn't what the guy they have. The guy that they got didn't turn out to be what they'd hoped for in a short period of time, and this is the old, let's cut our losses, let's not let the bleeding continue, that we don't see down the line, this is the dude that's going to take us to the promised land. This is the guy that's going to get to where we want to be. And John, you look like you're chomping at the bit, so why do you fur your brow at that suggestion?
I still don't get this move. You know, if you're going to get rid of this coach this short of a tenure, then he wasn't the guy for the job to begin with.
Well, don't forget how this came about, though. Remember this past summer when Al Frank got relieved of his duties and then all this stuff started happening with Phil Jackson coming in. This was Tom Gorsuch's idea. Obviously, Joe didn't bring in Phil Jackson to be a consultant.
Come on, an unpaid consultant? That's not a consultant.
The mere fact that Tom Gorsuch put Phil Jackson into the mix because he was his buddy from because of the stuff they did with Platinum Equity or because he's in Hollywood. Look, Tom Gorsuch is a Michigan guy. He's obviously enamored with Joe Dumars. He was in college when Joe began as a Piston. Was still at East Lansing in Michigan State when Joe was already in his second year with the Pistons.
Okay, and the thing, I'm glad you say that because I try to keep telling people, Mark, how many GMs survive an ownership change? Just think about that.
They may survive it, but they don't last very long when they do survive.
Most don't survive it. Guy comes in, he's bringing in his own people.
You know that for
it
a fact?
Says a lot. It says
you know that for a fact before
yes.
You say most don't survive
most
it?
Most don't survive. A new owner comes in?
In the NBA.
A new owner comes in?
You know, general managers come and go like I change my undies, man. And sometimes I don't even know who's...
When
Chris Grant got fired by the Cavs this past week, I had a guy come and say, I didn't even know Chris Grant was the general manager of the Cavaliers.
Well, but you know what's funny is when people keep talking about replacing Joe, I ask people all the time, who do you want? They don't have a name because they don't know anybody. And then when I start going through people and I talk about their careers, I said, let me ask you a question real quick. Donnie Walsh, 30 years GM.
You love using Donnie Walsh. He's your staple.
Another one. You want somebody else?
Yeah, please, because I'm tired of
Donnie. Ernie Grunfeld. How's he been GM in the NBA?
I've been there for a long time.
How many years?
20. Is he still even one?
The Washington Wizards.
Elgin Baylor.
Is he still running the show there in Washington?
Washington
Wizards. Yeah, well, Elgin Baylor is the all-timer.
Well, but how long did he have his job in L.A.?
Well,
25 years.
Yeah, a long time.
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
Those were all solo owners because Sterling is still the owner. What's-his-ass is still the owner in Washington.
No, I don't know. It's a new one.
Leonosis or whatever?
Yeah, but I'm saying from Abe Poland.
Well, but Abe Poland's been gone a while. This guy's been in the seat for a bit of time now. Was it Leonosis? Keep up with the NBA moves, man. It's very different.
My point is that when people talk about GMs, it's not as easy as you say. It's not like somebody sitting out there who's constructed some great teams. That's all I'm saying. It's one thing to just get rid of somebody, which is fine, and everybody has a right to say he should be fired, but I'm just asking you, who are you bringing in? You bringing in Isaiah? Bringing in Bill Laimbeer to run the team? Be the executive? I don't know.
The guy that's been named the interim coach now for the rest of the season, unless something changes, but I don't know if I believe anything out of that building anymore.
I don't believe that.
John Lawyer. Someone asked me who Lawyer was. And I said, he's been here.
He's the guy who represents you in court.
Yeah, but this is L-O-Y-E-R. You could call him Lawyer if you like. You call him John Lawyer if you want to use the French version. I think Al Frank hired him. He came with Larry Frank. He's been here since 2011. So he actually was kind of a gimme to Maurice Cheeks. He kept him on the staff when Mo took the job last year in 2013. So this is a guy who's already been here. He knows the players. He knows the people. But back to Maurice Cheeks. And the piece I wrote, you can read it right now on parkerandtheman.com. It's already up there. Kind of is a comparison to the infamous Les Moss Sparky Anderson move of 1979, when Les Moss, after 53 games, was fired so that Jim Campbell could bring in Sparky. When Sparky was unceremoniously dumped by the Reds, it happened after the Tigers had already named Les the manager. Sparky was fired November 27th, I believe, of 78, and Les already got the gig for the 79 season. 53 games in, Sparky really kind of did a secret meeting with Jim Campbell, and Campbell said, let's do this now. Let's not wait. I don't want anybody else to pick you up. Right. So after 53 games in Moss's first year, he was out. Now, is there a Sparky Anderson in the NBA landscape? You know, we keep hearing Lionel Hollins' name. Just a year ago, he took the Memphis Grizzlies to the Western Conference Finals. Just a year ago. It wasn't 2 years, 8 years ago.
He didn't hold on to his job, and neither did George Karl, who had the most wins, was coach of the year, and they said, thank you very much, you're not coming back. And where's George Karl? Was he working at ESPN, right?
Yeah, he's on the air. Yeah. Sometimes. You ever see the guy? Well, look, the Pistons got, you know, Jay Smoove and Jennings. They're doing their thing. Sometimes they disappear. Sometimes they look like all-stars. I mean, 65 points combined in the Nuggets game, 35 and 30 for Jennings and Smith, respectively. All-starters were in double figures. You just didn't expect after that game against Denver, 126-109, in which they really were just a juggernaut. In fact, I tweeted at halftime the infamous 30 years ago when the Pistons and Nuggets played the highest scoring game in NBA history, and the Pistons won that in three overtimes, 186-184. I said, hey, Pistons have a chance here to maybe break that record if they can go a couple of overtimes or something. And then I just didn't expect that a few hours later that Mo Cheeks would be gone after that amount of time. Now, here's the fewest games with one team. I'll just throw it out there now. Jerry Tarkanian, the all-timer.
What was that, 7 games?
20 with 20. San Antonio.
Okay.
Bobby Weiss, who was a Pistons assistant when McKinney was here.
Who was that, in Atlanta?
Seattle, 30 games.
Okay.
Yeah. Rudy Tomjanovich with the Lakers.
How many?
He went 41.
Okay. It's not uncommon then.
And then Garfield Hurd in 99 with the Wizards went 44. So 50 is now. Welcome to the top five.
Well, wait a minute.
It's like American Idol.
What you call it?
What? Mike Brown.
No, but Mike Brown, he been coached the year before. It wasn't his first year.
Yeah. For a guy.
Right? It was his second year. Right. Yeah. It was his second year.
For a guy in his first year with the club, these are the top five. Tarkanian, Weiss, Rudy T., Gar Hurd, and now Mo Cheeks in the top five. Welcome to the top five. American Idol. Wow. Maurice Cheeks. We barely knew ye is what I put in there, too, because we barely knew. We didn't know Les Moss. So is there any comparison that you see that kind of thing because it's already happened in this town?
No, I mean, I don't.
If there was a guy out there that you had to have, I'd understand this.
No, but you know what? Sometimes if somebody, look, I think we can all agree on this. This is the ownership stepping in, right? And then the other thing, Mark, let's just be honest and be fair. And Joe will never say this, and most general managers will never say it. Who owns the owner owns the team, right? Who wanted Rick Carlisle out? I'll just ask you.
Well, you don't have to do this. I wrote about this. Bill Davidson has orchestrated pretty much every coaching change in his tenure. And let me can I give you a little background on this? Look, we all knew why Alvin Gentry was let go. He swore like a sailor. And
he hated it.
And you could see he sat right there.
Bill Davidson hated it.
Carlisle berated everybody in his wake. He kicked people out of practices.
Tom Wilson, the whole nine yards.
Gone. Larry Brown. There were some other weird things, but I won't get into those. But he had gotten too big for his britches.
It was always about him and not the team. And Bill Davidson got upset about that. That's another one. So it's not an excuse.
But wait a second. Let's go all the way back here. He orchestrated Doug Collins' hiring and firing. Davidson did. He never wanted Don Chaney. Ron Rothstein lasted 1 year as head coach of the Pistons.
Right. This is not a
George
Joe
Irvin.
D. It's not a Joe D thing. Now that you think about it.
No, because I can take you back to Ray Scott. I love Ray Scott. He's a great guy. I think Scott was either he inherited Scott when he bought the Pistons in '74, or hired him. I think he inherited him. I think Scott was already the coach. Ray Scott, Herb Brown, Dick Vitale. Bob Kaufman, Scotty Robertson, Richie Adubato. Every one of those guys, it was almost a non-basketball issue with those people because they're brilliant basketball minds. Who's going to argue Scotty Robertson and Richie Adubato? Been around the game for 40 years. Herb Brown, Larry's brother, been around the game forever. He loved Bob Kaufman. Kaufman played for the Pistons. Loved him. Vitale was hand-picked by Davidson and hand-fired by Bill Davidson. And, you know, after he was replaced by Adubato and Robertson, there was a big infight between McCluskey and, I don't know if you even know this, before Chuck Daly was hired, do you know who Bill Davidson wanted to hire as head coach of the Pistons?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
But you don't.
Will Robinson.
No, it was not Will Robinson. No. He wanted Will Robinson to be a part of the organization always.
Right.
Maybe even on the bench. I'm telling you this. He wanted Digger Phelps. He wanted to go back to college because he still felt like that was the way to go, because after he had done with Vitale, he just wanted a better college coach. But after he was done with Vitale, he then went to two guys like Robertson and Adubato. Well, now he's on the third guy again. So he said, McCluskey was absolutely in love with Chuck Daly. And it was a hard sell. Daly had coached the crappy Cavaliers for a short period of time, Penn, University of Pennsylvania, and Punxsutawney High School. Mr. Groundhog Day.
That's right. I think when Daddy Rich saw his shadow, he got the job for two
more
weeks.
It was six more weeks of money.
Exactly.
6 more weeks of Armani suits. So this is a long stand, and this isn't just Bill Davidson. There's so, especially in the NBA, the owners of those franchises get their hands in the till all the time. Jerry Buss, please.
But
hello.
You know why it's easier to do it? Because there's so few players and so few moving parts. When you really think about it, it's not about 12 or 14 players. It's about 7, right?
Correct.
Absolutely. It's about 7 guys that you're messing with. The other guys,
your starters and your 2 best off the bench.
Your 2 best off. That's really, and you got a coach. So as an owner, you have like 8 pieces to move around. The 7 players and the coach. You look at the baseball. You got minor leagues. You got all this other pitching coach. You got all this stuff. You got 25 players. You look at the NFL. There's 57 players and 12 head coaches, assistant
you
coaches.
You got to delegate the authority somewhere else.
Now what does it say to Bill Davidson's legacy that no coach has stayed past 3 years since Chuck Daly?
And Flip's the only one.
Flip had 3 years, and all he did was win. Go look at
Doug,
his numbers.
Doug Collins made it 2.5.
And he blew up, right? He self-destructed.
And that was a complete
meltdown by who?
That was a complete Davidson move. Because there was infighting there that Doug, he wanted, I think it was Billy, who was still there, Rick's son, one of the two, your buddy Rick's son, go get me a donut, wanted Collins to stay. And it was Davidson who said, under no circumstances should he be allowed to stay. Every one of these guys. Davidson has never, the only one I could probably tell you that may have been an actual Joe D move would have been Flip. Because when you go 59-23 and you win the division and you go to the Eastern Conference Finals and get let go, that's a GM move. Because that's a basketball-related move at that point. You think you've gotten to a certain level, and you need Scottie Bowman to come in or something. The only problem was he brought in Mike Curry.
Yeah. Okay, and the only thing I'm going to say about that.
He followed Flip up with Michael Curry.
Okay, and there's a couple things. By that time, who was running the team? Who was the owner?
Who was the owner of the
Pistons?
What, you think Karen?
Not that. Look at the coaches that they hired after that under her reign.
Well, under her, she wouldn't pay the money because she was getting ready in sale mode.
Yes or no? If I just look at it.
That was 2009. That was 2009, yeah.
Right? It was like Curry, Kuster. No big names. How much money did they make? They didn't make a lot of money.
No, they were easily to let go. And so is Mo Cheeks. He's going to get $5 million bucks or something. No, he gets $3 million left, $2.5 million, and then whatever's left on this year. He gets one more year, and then the money that's left.
So it wasn't like
about $3 million left.
Yeah. It's not like it's a gazillion dollars, which made it easier.
Michael Curry got $5 million because they had to pay off 2 years. He had a 3-year deal at $2.5 million.
He got left go at 1 year, right. Yeah. Right.
So he had $5 million coming to him. They've paid off coaches. They have. Every one of them has gotten paid for the most part. They always had time left for the most of those guys. All right. So anyhow, we'll see what happens with the Spurs in town Monday, and then it's Cleveland Wednesday before the All-Star break.
What do you mean I'm fired?
You don't have Cap'n Wayno all the time, Big John. That's the problem. You got to have more Cap'n Waynos. One other NBA thing I want to bring up, unless you have more on the Mo Cheeks thing, Rob.
No,
any other mole information or anything?
No, I don't have anything yet. Everything
here,
else
I got
is
a,
that.
Here.
I'm looking for a plain one that I could just write on my back.
I got one.
Oh.
I always bring you one. Do I know my brother, the Indian?
No, I always need one. No. I don't know where it's going from here. I mean, it came as a shock.
Home dinner, maybe a show?
Yeah, maybe, but it came as a shock.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. You need a freaking magnifying glass to read your phone? What was that?
Can you read that number?
Yes.
No, don't say it on the podcast. Can you read
what, the phone number? Yeah, 313 blah, blah, blah.
Can you read the phone number? Yes. Well, you got glasses on.
313 blah, blah, blah.
Well, his glasses might be fire glasses.
You got contacts on.
I never wear contacts. Not since television.
Mine was blurred, so I couldn't see the last.
The last day I ever did a full-time television gig, 5 days a week and all that, I took the contacts and whipped them in the garbage. Never wore them again. Yep, never wore them again. Couldn't stand them. I'd rather wear glasses. And I don't need them that much, so I can still go without glasses. I know this is a fascinating part of the podcast. The one thing that in the NBA I want to bring up was the Memphis-Atlanta game, because it's an NBA record. Memphis, Tayshaun and company, actually beat the Atlanta Hawks shooting one free throw.
That's unbelievable. Now, that's unbelievable.
Courtney Lee went 1-for-1 at the line, and that was the only free throw Memphis, and won the game.
Never happened in the history of the NBA, right?
Is not even close.
Which officiating crew was it?
I don't know. It's probably one of the chicks.
No, there's only one chick left.
How do you? I think Atlanta took 15. I think they went 9 of 15 from the line. Which, you know,
so
that stroke is okay.
Violet Palmer game, basically.
Yeah, Violet Palmer. I thought that was stunning that it was 1-for-1 and call it a day. Wow. Before we get to Olympic stuff, let me just finish basketball since we'll keep the basketball together. Michigan State lost to Wisconsin. I know you're going to say Bo Ryan, you know, rules again, rules Tom Izzo again. 60-58 was the final. Adrian Payne is back, had 24 points, hit the big three ball to tie the game at 58. And then Jimmy Jackson's kid, Trayvon Jackson, won it with the short jumper, 2 seconds left. Gary Harris, 3-for-20 shooting, only had 6 points. No Keith Appling, no Brandon Dawson. If you're going to take two pieces parts, now it's Appling and Dawson instead of Payne and Dawson, off that club, they're not as good. Simple, end of story, not as good, not good enough.
What was Appling's injury?
Got a wrist injury.
Okay, it's wrist.
It's wrist. He's battled that for a while. Izzo just needed to sit him down. It's not surgical. It needs to heal. It needs to have time. He needs to stay away from the game. Thursday against Northwestern, I would assume he'd be back. If not, then it's more serious than we think. Then he's got to start addressing the situation because his senior captain point guard isn't going to be available, you know, on a team that's hoping to make a run in the tournament. But here's what I really hated. And I've touted Gavin Schilling. He's got to start getting some hits here. The kid out of Vegas. Schilling, Alex Gana, Russell Bird, and Kenny Kaminsky played 29 bench minutes. Scored no points. Z and row.
That ain't going to work.
That ain't going to fly.
And I do want to share a little bit. You know, you asked me about mold material.
We went back to Cheeks now?
Yeah, just real quick. I'm bringing it up because you just mentioned Tom Izzo. You know, on Clubhouse. Clubhouse Confidential, a couple weeks ago, I already said, who is Tom Izzo close to? Flip Saunders, who now runs who? Minnesota Timberwolves. I was told that he was going to make a run for Izzo after this season. Now, who's the owner of the Pistons?
A Spartan. Who loves Tom Izzo?
Who, now here you go. I'm just telling you that now if this is the guy that they're going to keep for the rest of the year and they didn't sign Lionel Hollins, play it out this year, it's not out of the possibility.
No, it's not.
And this is it.
Eyes may shine.
And this is it. Because Izzo, dude, you got.
You get any younger.
And not only that, you got two guys. You got one guy who's your real buddy. Him and Flip got close, and you got Gores, who is a Spartan, you know, whatever.
He's a big Spartan.
Well, but I'm just saying, you got...
Who loves Tom.
Here you go. I'm just telling you. So I'm putting this on the record to say, do not be shocked.
And you know what? No, the more you say it, I didn't even think about bringing it up yet because it just wasn't there. But the more you think about it, if you're not going to hire a guy now, and you're certainly not going to take Iz away from the Spartans, and it's not going to happen. He's not leaving in February. But I could see Gores, who's used to getting what he wants.
That's what happens when you're rich.
And for an equity company, which you get what you want land-wise and everything else, he's used to getting his stuff. He loves Tom. That's a fact. He loves the Spartan program. He is a Spartan. He would make it that he wasn't harming Michigan State, that he was actually showing his love for Michigan State by bringing the Spartan guy in to save the day. And if Tom Izzo, after the Cleveland disaster, when he went to Cleveland and could have been the Cavs coach, and prior to the Atlanta gig, and there's three other gigs.
The money may be green.
That's
Lee Tom Izzo alone.
Is that Clarence Underwood?
That's Clarence Underwood.
I could see maybe there's a case to be made that it was time, if Tom ever wanted to do this at his age, that this would be the time to do it.
Really, at this point?
What's he going to do? Is he really going to stay in college for the rest of his time? I don't know. For what? He's breaking all. He has all the records. Does he want to be the all-time Big Ten winning? Does it matter to him? I don't think so.
And he'll never win another national championship in college. That's,
you know what? And Mark, he may not be disagreeing with you.
And you know what, Mark? You know what? You could poo-poo it or whatever. Did I say that 4 years ago? Or did I say that 12 years ago? How long ago did I say that?
13 years ago.
Okay, 13 years. Right? So yeah. Let's not make it like I just
came
lately. Okay, I'll
give you a damn parade, right. Johnny Come Lately.
I don't want a what you call. I just want to just be honest. That's all I'm saying is that anybody could say that after what you call a couple after 10 years went by and you didn't win, you could say that. I said that early on. I said if he keeps bringing in players,
no, you're like Fratto. Bernie said right away that Tiger Woods would never win another major. He held to that.
Right,
so if
you
well,
right
but if he's wrong, you'll go back to him all the time. And go, you stupid. You no, stupid.
You got
to
do it. Early on, not after years went by.
I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility then that Tom Izzo could be the next coach of the Pistons. It isn't. I mean, stranger things have happened. And you're right. If Lionel Hollins was named today and given a three-year deal, that's out of the mix.
Right.
And it's also out of the mix that Joe in his final year of his contract, you know, might stay. We don't know what that's going to be like either when this is all said and done, where it all shakes out. So MSU hosts Northwestern Thursday and Nebraska Saturday. Michigan lost big at Iowa, 85-67. Roy Marble's kid is playing great. Devin Roy Marble, 26 points. Michigan's terrible on the boards without Mitch McGarry. Caris LeVert at 22. Zach Irvin playing much better for Michigan at 19. Good freshman there for John Beilein. Jordan Morgan, dude, I'm telling you. The guy, I what was my joke last week that he's actually using Cassie Russell's locker? He was the one that took it after Cassie had it. 15 minutes, one rebound, no points. This is a guy going to grad school. He's been around so long for Michigan. They're at Ohio State Tuesday, and they'll host Wisconsin on Sunday now. 17-6. Both MSU and Michigan looking down the barrel of that matchup later in the month because there's still three games up in the conference, all both tied now at 9-2.
You know, that's still kind of amazing. With the
that's three games up still at 9-2. That is kind of hard to believe at this time of the season. How about Larry Brown? Speaking of Larry, we talked about LB and with the Mo Cheeks firing. His resurgence at SMU. I saw
he's
you
still
retweet
at SMU.
Dude, he's got nine. They're 19-5. The last time the Mustangs were significant in college basketball was 93. It was 21 years ago when they last made the NCAA tournament. They just upset numbers.
Who was on that squad? Who was on that squad?
What, in 93?
Yeah.
He had one big name, but I don't remember who it is.
How many times have we talked about anybody who discounts? Larry Brown is the best basketball coach I've ever seen, college and pro. Everywhere he's gone except for one spot, and that was a short period of time when he went to the Knicks for a cup of coffee and two bagels, except for that spot where him and Isaiah got into it. Remember, he didn't last a year. It was his first year, wasn't it, that he got fired?
Yeah.
Except for that spot, everywhere he went, everybody has always gotten better. Just go look at his record. He's unbelievable, and he is still the only coach to win a championship in college and pro. Only one. Only one guy's done it.
And we now know there's three that have done it in football, right?
Yes.
Barry Switzer, Jimmy Johnson, and now Pete Carroll have all won a championship in college and pro. But LB at 73... they upset the number 7 Bearcats, Cincinnati, 76-55. The two Knicks are great players, Moore and Russell. But this is really unprecedented for Southern Methodist. They're not a great basketball school. Haven't been for – used to be a great football school. You know, the old Pony Express with Eric Dickerson and Craig James. So 21 years since SMU made the tournament, and right now they're 19-5 and 8-3 in that new conference, that American Conference thing, the former Big East. So – God bless him, man. I mean, 73 years old, still going strong. Don't tell me you can't coach in your 70s. And he never looks like he's that old.
No.
You know, LB to this day still looks like he's in his 50s, late 50s or maybe 60. Okay, look, Olympics. Rob, are you watching any of it at all?
Just no way,
wait.
Marcus,
Marcus Smart.
No way,
hold on.
No how.
Before we get to the Olympics, let me get to Marcus Smart, Oklahoma State. 3-game suspension for shoving the fan at the end of the Texas Tech game. Tubby Smith coaches them. It was the Cowboys' fourth straight loss. There's a lot. They're very angry over there. Obviously, they're upset. They're frustrated. Did you see the actual thing when
yes,
he?
Yes, I did.
What did you think about that?
I think he should have been suspended.
But did you think it was that big a deal?
No, but you can't put your hands on anybody.
No, I understand that part.
Plain and simple. It doesn't even matter.
But the way they covered it was like this guy killed a guy.
No, I know. Mark.
Zapruder film.
You of all people.
The Zapruder film.
You of all people know, it's cable. They have 24 hours to kill.
Lots of news.
Don't
pick on Marcus Smart.
Every story.
The Olympics is on.
Every story. Mark, I've been through it. When you talk about a story where you say, is this that big? Like, are you serious?
Yes, you have. You should know more than anybody.
Right? I've been through it before. So I already know. It depends on the news cycle and what's going on, Mark. And let me tell you something. Nothing else was going on, so that was a big story.
Because Mo Cheeks hadn't been fired yet.
Exactly.
A guy calls me and says, you've got to see the Marcus Smart thing. So I'm thinking, what did he do? So I went home and I went, come on. And from what I hear about that guy, that super fan supposedly guy, had every bit of it and then some coming. So a lot of people were applauding Marcus Smart for doing what he did.
Yeah, but he has no right to put his... I don't care what anybody says.
We get that part. Three games, fine. Sit down, three games.
He's wrong. I don't care what the guy said. And you know what? And I like the guys. I saw his apology. And the thing I did like is that he went out of his way to say, I didn't use any nothing racial. I didn't... You know what I mean? I'm going to say what I said, which was wrong. But I just don't want people going on Twitter... Right away. Oh, he used the N-word. Oh, he did this. He did that. Dude, that's not what went down. And I don't blame Smart for being upset.
Well, you're not going to have that at the Winter Olympics because, you know, ain't a whole lot of brothers and sisters over there. It's the Winter Games. It's the 22nd Winter.
The Jamaican bobsled team. They finally got their bobsled back.
22nd Winter Olympiad in Sochi, Russia. And after all the start to how terrible the hotels and everything, I couldn't take that anymore. The opening ceremonies, they made a big deal about the one ring not opening, but people in Russia didn't see it because they played the practice tape. I don't know how they did that, but they showed them that, and we got the ring not opening on the opening ceremonies. But I got to tell you, so far some compelling television. I thought that the women's ski moguls with the two Canadian sisters winning gold and bronze, and then that Hannah Carney, who was the big champion in Vancouver, settling for bronze, was a really compelling story.
You know, it,
probably talk to you about this because he ain't going to be watching.
Yeah. You know, every time.
It's time for a cake break. Okay. While you talk about
every time the Olympics comes up, there's always talk about, well, let's move it from NBC, give it back to ABC or give it to CBS or ESPN. Well,
give it. I mean, it's a bidding war.
It's not, but
NBC, they live, this is their thing. And they
live for it.
NBC has done a great job.
Oh, yeah.
In producing this Olympiad. From the stories and from actually
this is better than ever.
From the HD, you know, from the visuals.
The graphics are better than ever. The people seem to be better than ever. You know what's funny? You know who's doing the skiing for NBC is Matt Vasgersian, who does the baseball.
Right.
He's on the MLB network.
You know who that is.
But do you remember how we were introduced to this guy? This weirdo? He was the Brewers announcer who used to use those Animal House lines. He was the one that a guy would hit a homer, like Prince Fielder would hit a homer, and he'd say, you need to report to the stables tonight and every night at 9 p.m. without that pledge pin. He was that guy. He has become actually a really good standard broadcast guy. Don't you remember that guy was doing that?
Yeah.
That was Matt Vasgersian. That's how he busted out with these stupid Animal House lines. He would do like, you know, Wormer, dead, Niedermeyer. And like a guy with a homer, that's what he would say. That was his line. Like Bob Prince in Pittsburgh used to say, open up the window, Aunt Martha. I'm coming home. And then you hear the glass break it or something. That was Vasgersian's deal.
And, you know, one of the things that we're blessed with being in this area, we also get the CBC broadcast, too.
Yeah, right. You know what, though? I think NBC, to me, has bypassed.
Oh, it has.
CBC's broadcast of it. Jimmy Anderson winning that gold in the snowboarding slope style. I was into the slope style. You got to hit that little Russian doll thing before with your bottom of your ski. Come on. Or your bottom of your snowboard is pretty good. I watched luge. I watched some of the solo dancing. I watched Michigan's very own Charlie Davis and Meryl Hodge or whatever her name is. Meryl Dave. No, Charlie. Meryl Streep.
Meryl.
Charlie White and Meryl Davis. And my mother called me. She doesn't usually watch the Winter Games. She said, "Do you know this Charlie White and Meryl Davis? They're from like Michigan." I said, "Yeah, Canton, Royal Oak or something." She was all into it. Rob Parker's the only one who doesn't care. The only one that doesn't want to see it. No, that's an old man line. You know, "Oh, get off the lawn. I don't want to watch the damn Olympics, especially the Winter Games."
I'm not into it. I'm not going to fake
it. I watched for Bodie Miller, and Bodie Miller finished eighth in the downhill. He didn't get his little gold medal he wanted so bad. But you know who another person, they chisel the dust off of every Olympics every 4 years? Andrea Joyce. You never see Andrea Joyce.
you don't see her.
Never. Until the Olympics come around, then it's Andrea Joyce here. And she's a former Detroit person. She used to work here, Channel 4 back in the day. Do you know that?
No.
News. Andrea Joyce. So all I'm saying is that I was so far very impressed with what they've shown, and they make it simple enough. And it's not a hard commitment.
No.
It's a couple of weeks. You watch the stuff and
earlier,
you move on.
Earlier today they had the cross-country skiing.
Is that the thing where you shoot the guns and ski?
That's the biathlon.
They had that yet?
They had the women's biathlon. So you ski a little bit. Then you
I heard Putin's actually in it and he wants to shoot you know, the American team. But that's just what I'm hearing.
Well, you know, that's always Putin.
That's just Putin for you. I'm Putin for rooting. I'm rooting tooting for Putin. But so far, so good. Cross your fingers that the next 10 days are like that. Coming up, Rob Parker, we're going to do a little baseball business. Tigers pitchers and catchers report. We're going to do a little Red Wing stuff because they have their Olympic break now. They're at the break, so we'll see how – we'll check in with the Red Wings. And Bernie Smilovitz's favorite event is tomorrow. Rob knows what that is. How was that again? And a few other news and notes. We have any media riffraff? We have a little media – nah, not really, nothing much. But don't forget – well, I'll mention this coming up. But first, Rob's going to do his little thing before we go any further on this here podcast for this week of Feb 10.
All right. If you need a haircut, Mark, in Metro Detroit, you need one. You need a cleanie. You need a fresh cut. Go to Sporty Cuts. Right on 7 Mile Road between Auto Drive and Myers. $10 for the all-even cut. $8 for boys. Remember, Sporty Cuts on 7 Mile Road between Auto Drive and Myers. Hey, Mark.
Let John do it.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Go get Sporty Cuts.
No, let him do it.
Yes.
Play along. Play along.
Yes.
Yes.
Go get Sporty Cuts.
Well, thank you, Rob. I got to be honest with you. Rob Parker right now is having a little milk, a little cold milk, and a little red velvet cake. Mm. Is that an Entenmann's? What is that? Mm. Is that Entenmann's? Just describe how it tastes.
Mmm.
Oh, it's so good. I think Rob's having...
You gotta do that in front of me.
He's going to have an O face. Rob is having a cake orgasm right now.
You want to need more?
And we don't want to be around here when he does.
I need a cigarette. Baby oil.
Are we sure that's the right topping for that red velvet?
Oh, wow.
We sure that's actually the sugar cream?
Cream
on top of that red velvet.
Puppies.
Just a couple of housekeeping items for your podcast pleasure. Two things I've written already now on the thing. One is the piece about more cheeks getting fired. It's already posted. And so is a piece I thought would be a big timer for today, not knowing that Mo was going to get fired. I did it about sports talk radio and pop culture. Just real quick, let me make my point. Tonight, meaning Sunday night, was the Beatles' 50th anniversary of being on the Ed Sullivan Show. CBS is doing a – Letterman's even on the thing. It's how important it is. Letterman did something other than his own TV show. So he was going to interview John and – I mean Paul and Ringo.
Where does Letterman do a show from?
Right from the theater, from the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Ed Sullivan Theater, right.
Yeah, so he probably didn't have to go very far when he did it, but he never does extra stuff. My point being, though, that if you want to look at – when pop culture began in this country en masse, look at February 9th, 1964. Because prior to that, you had Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, JFK was very much part of pop culture. But post-64, with the civil rights movement, with Motown music, that's really when it got going. So you can make the argument. And here's the other reason. And Rob will love this one. That television show became the most watched TV show in the history of TV at that time, per the ratings and share.
73 million
people.
Well,
that's just the that's the number. Now, it's non-Super Bowl number, okay? Right. Don't throw the sporting events in, which Super Bowl has eclipsed that by miles. But rating and share, all, because remember, there's more people in the country
right.
now.
Why? Right. You got to remember what it was back then. That was an incredible number of people.
Three stations. That was it.
And most cities had 3 to 5 stations, right? Maybe 2 independent.
The big cities. Small, right. You had the major networks, and that was it.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You might have had. And for them to have that many people, and what was the ratings share? Because prior to that, it was Elvis with 56 million in 19. Was it 56 or 50?
Nope.
Yes, it was.
What was the most highly rated? That was Cume number you're talking about. What was the highest rated television show before that? On February 8th of 64, what was the highest rated television show prior to the Beatles' appearance on Ed Sullivan? It'll blow your mind.
Man on the Moon?
No.
No, that was 60.
What was that? 60,
69.
That was 69.
That's where you were.
A month earlier, an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies was the number one television show ever recorded in the history of, and it was a short history at that point.
Remember, it was 1947, right?
Yeah, it's 47 is
that's
the given time.
Like they consider, it might have been on a little couple of years, but only a few people had a TV set.
Now, do your thinking. I wrote about this. Do your thinking. Why would a TV show, an episode of The Hillbillies, be the most watched show of all time? And it eclipsed a show that had been on years ago. It was Gunsmoke, actually, had the record.
Which only ran for 20 years.
Kennedy dies in November 63. The country is looking to come out of the funk.
Right.
They're looking and
anything.
And remember, people watch television more than ever to watch the coverage of the Kennedy assassination. Television finally became bigger than radio when Kennedy was assassinated in 63. Until that point, radio was still the better medium because not everybody had a television set. People, it was expensive. People didn't have one. It wasn't color TV.
And they only had one.
One per household maximum.
But I don't know about you. When I was a kid, when I grew up, we watched TV as a family. We only had one TV
right,
set.
Right. You didn't watch all day long.
You had a TV in your bedroom? No.
No. And you watched for maybe an hour maximum.
Or prime time at 8 o'clock. We all sit down. John, I know you're a little younger than me and Mark. Did you have your own set in your bedroom?
No.
No, right? You had a family TV.
But Rob knows this too. When we came home, there was no sitting your ass in front of the TV.
No. There was no such thing.
Because there was nothing to watch. There was nothing to watch. And at night, television went away.
Went off.
It went off.
I remember TV going off. Because you had the national anthem
there
and then.
There was singing. Yeah. If you in the morning, that's what you would hear. Or they'd have the old X with the little box, you know, or the Indian.
Indian test pattern.
Right? Yeah. It was like a what you call it. And the other thing is, and you know this, back in those days, there's no remote and all that. If they put on CBS,
you changed the dial.
You didn't, but Mark, you didn't get up and change the dial during a commercial to see what was on another channel.
Rarely you did.
Rarely, it was like, you're gonna break the dial, right?
They all had commercials at the same time.
Right, but you wouldn't. You didn't go flip the channel. We never turned the
channel. Well, my dad used to say, "Stop turning that so much.
You're gonna break the dial.
You're gonna break the dial.
Stop it. Don't turn a channel."
Well, if you still go today to the top 100 television shows by rating and share, not by Cume, because as I said,
right,
you have 100 million more people in this country, or 80 million more people. By Cume and share, you will still see, because after that episode of Sullivan, and after that episode of Beverly Hillbillies, there's like 3 or 4 more of them still on that list. Those two shows, for the next 2 years, are some of the most watched television in the history of the game. Now, from 1963 and 64.
For folks, 64 and 65. Who are not insiders, give the difference between Cume.
Well, Cume is your total number of people watching.
Cumulative is
the rating total. The rating number is the amount of people watching television, and the share is the amount of people
watching that program.
Watching that particular program per other the other programs. So it's about televisions on and all households using television. That's the difference between rating and share. But that's still to this day. Look at the top 100. You will see The Fugitive is still up there from 1967. Final. Now, we still know the MASH episode finale of 83 will be very hard to top.
Goodbye.
I didn't watch MASH. I wasn't a MASH fan. I wasn't. But I watched the last episode. I was in college, and it was a MASH party. Everybody sat there and watched the last episode.
It is still the highest rated non-Super Bowl television show of all time. Highest rated of all time. And the Cheers finale is in the top 10.
Yeah.
Bob Hope Christmas special from 1970 is still in the top 10. There's like three Bob Hope. The Dallas episode is very much of that.
That was huge. I remember that. That was a big thing.
I heard people say The Fugitive. I said, yeah, that was a big deal. Looking for the one-armed man with the guy who everybody thinks is Clark Gable's son.
Right.
What was his name? I've already forgotten his name. was the principal character in the show. Longtime actor. That doesn't mean you can look it up. Anyhow, there you go. That's so they're both pieces on there. And how sports talk radio, the debate rages as to whether or not you want some pop culture references on Guy Talk or sports talk radio or
always.
Not.
Yeah. I think you always do.
And this being the 20th anniversary of WDFN, I thought it was appropriate to write about it, especially with the Beatles thing, because it all meshed together.
20 years ago, man, we started that station.
July of 1994.
I remember it. I was at the All-Star game. I couldn't even be there for the very first show. I was in Pittsburgh for the All-Star game, and I had to do it from by phone back to the studio. That was probably one of the worst. I was bummed. I was glad to be at the All-Star game, but here's this new thing, this new sports show, and the first day I'm not there. I wasn't that happy about that.
Red Wings at the Olympic break. They lost to Iserman's Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2 on Saturday. The Wings go into the break teetering on the edge on the eighth position in the Eastern Conference now that they're in the East. Can't complain about being healthy. Zetterberg and Datsyuk were back. Jimmy Howard was in goal. Johan Franzen is really the only guy that's gone. Eriksson's back. You know, they only had three healthy scratches, so they still lost that game. But they're 26-20-12. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I believe it's been at least 25 years since the Red Wings had 20 losses before mid-February. And you have to go back right before either pre-Jacques Demers or Jacques' first couple of years. But that's already 25 years ago. And Rob will say, that's not 25. It was like 88. That's not 25 years ago. Well, that's a quarter century now. That's how good the Wings have been. Because I don't think they've been close to 20 losses in mid-February. So this is kind of a first. And they have a bunch of guys heading to Sochi now for the Olympic Games. So they're not, the NHL's not back till February the 26th. And as soon as they come back, the Wings go on the road for three games. So from now, which is only February 9, till March 14th, the Wings have just two home games. So that's going to be an uphill climb, having to win a lot on the road in the next month and a half or so. But it was good that Jimmy Howard was back and playing the last five. So it looks like he's back and healthy. He's going to play in the Olympics. At least he's going to back up Ryan Miller. So that's the Wings. I'm not impressed with how they're playing. I don't think that they're playing terribly, but I think they're kind of lollygagging it through this dog days of the winter, and they need to pump up the volume when they get back.
What do you think the move to the East?
Well, as interesting as it is, I'm kind of glad they're out of the West in a way, because I like this better. I really do. I don't want to see the St. Louis Blues and the Nashville Predators. I'd much rather watch the Canadians and the Rangers and the Islanders.
How bad was that? I mean, just over and over, and Columbus. And every night you look up, they're playing Columbus.
Too many teams that you have no personal relationship with.
Right. It was, trust me, they made a fat living off of playing those teams for all those years.
Well, it's an original six town, and you'd rather be around Boston and New York. And Montreal,
and
Toronto.
The Rangers come in once.
Oh, I
want to
see the Leafs. I want to see Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. That was the rivalry. The rivalry back in the 50s and 60s wasn't Montreal and anybody really. It was Detroit-Toronto. I mean, the Blackhawks weren't very good back then. Boston wasn't very good back then. But the Wings were great. And the Leafs were great. And now the Leafs haven't won a cup since 1967.
Wow.
And it's hard to believe.
They are on the clock.
You think? I mean, if you want to go to a team in a sport, in a major sport, that has really failed miserably over the last 50 years now, almost 50 years, you could put the Lions right in there. But I would stick the Maple Leafs pretty close with the Lions.
And also the Browns.
Browns, Lions, and Maple Leafs.
The Browns are an expansion team. No, they're not.
He means the city of Cleveland's football program.
No, but John, they're an expansion team. They've only been around for...
They have the
Baltimore.
He's going to fight you on this.
No,
they have the records.
Is that
the
same
old
team, Mark, or are they in Baltimore? That's the Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns are in Baltimore.
They're in Baltimore.
Art Modell moved them in the dead of night to Baltimore.
That team has won two Super Bowls. I'm sorry, John. I'm not buying it. There are four teams that haven't made it to the Super Bowl. Three expansion teams and your Detroit Lions.
I'm not going to argue it. I could, but I won't.
Because
it's meaningless to argue it. Okay, Tigers pitchers and catchers report Thursday. First thing up on Valentine's Day, Friday. Spring training begins. It's the dawn of a new year, 2014. The memory of last year's failure at the end, it's kind of, I think, been scattered. The ashes have been scattered now, and so it's time to look forward. Many are already in Lakeland. Full squad will come in the week later. First game, well, I'll get to that in a bit. But here's the guys that are in, and here's the guys that are gone. And what I want from you, Rob, is to tell me, were the offseason moves good enough to think that this team will be better certainly to win the division again for a fourth time in a row and go to an ALCS for amazingly a fourth time in a row. Still can't believe they've gone three. And then,
in a row?
Very nice. In a row? Say it again.
In a row?
Isn't that hard to believe the Tigers have done that
thing? Really?
When you look at that part of it, even though they haven't won a World Series.
No, Mark.
Stop.
No. I don't want you to give me what you call it. Stop with this. They had like the fourth highest payroll. Everybody asks, what do you mean so? This is not the Tigers that had 13 losing seasons.
You don't have
it's
to
not.
Win the games. I don't
know.
No, care
but I'm just talking about they have top talent. Don't act like it's a shocker.
To go, they've had top talent in the past. Cecil Fielder in the 90s was the highest paid player in baseball.
No, they didn't have a team like
last
this.
I looked at Cecil Fielder team didn't come close.
They didn't have a guy like, no, they didn't have a team like this.
Anyhow, here's who's in and here's who's out. Ian Kinsler, Jabba Chamberlain, Rajai Davis, Joe Nathan, Ian Kroll, Steve Lombardozzi. Here's who's gone. Prince Fielder, Doug Fister, Brian Pena, Octavio Dotel, you think that Dotel can still come back at some point?
There's a chance. I mean, they haven't ruled it out totally.
Omar Infante, Johnny Peralta, Matt Tuiasosopo. Don't laugh. The guy was hitting 300 until, August.
And he helped them out early. He had a couple of game-tying home runs in the first half.
He actually carried them for like a week at one point. Ramon Santiago, Jeremy Bonderman, Darren Downs, Joaquin Benoit, and Jose Veras. To me, that's a lot of talent to lose, whether you like it or not. It's a lot of talent, a lot of money off the books. We all know what that's about. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Is this team better with Brad Ausmus now in a Tiger uniform as manager, who's never done it before outside the Israeli national team, and Wally World Joyner joining him, and Omar Vizquel, who I still, again, can't believe is putting on a Tiger uniform, or are they not as good? Fimble question.
Not even close to being the same team. They're not as good. They lost way too much. People don't understand it. All the people who are so happy that Prince Fielder's out of town will look and see Miggy pitch differently too and say, I don't know what's wrong with Miggy. I don't understand it. I don't know what's wrong. He doesn't have as many home runs. I don't know what's wrong. You know what's wrong? Prince isn't hitting behind him. When Prince hits behind you, ask Ryan Braun won an MVP and Miguel Cabrera won the last two. It makes a difference. Oh, what are you talking about? Victor Martinez, he hits over 300. He's a great hitter, right?
Who's hitting behind Prince in Texas?
Who is? No, who's hitting in front, you mean?
In front, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what their lineup is.
Well, there's still a chance Nelson Cruz is going back to Texas. Right now, he's beelined. It seems we thought maybe here. He's not coming here.
I thought it was not
Seattle. Seattle and Baltimore. The Orioles are hot on his heels, and so is McClendon and the Mariners. He really wants them. But it's not a done deal that he's not going back to Texas yet.
But my point is,
because Texas, you're right, needs that guy with Prince.
Right. But here is the problem with Victor is he's not a power hitter. What did he hit? 10 or 12? What did he hit? 10 or 12?
Right in that little number.
And Mark?
He's not a power hitter per se, is what you mean.
He can't hurt you with a double or single. It doesn't hurt you. Okay. You know what I mean?
He can barely make it to second base on a double.
Okay. And...
Well, I'm not being funny. He just can't. Guy's got a great stick, but he can't run with a lick anymore.
And
maybe he can this year.
He's in the top one, two, maybe three. I could be off, but I think one or two. Double plays in the American League. So if I don't pitch to Cabrera.
So is Cal Ripken. I don't know if that matters.
And put him on, there's a chance I could get a double play. Even the guy gets a single or double, he's not killing me, not knocking a run in by hitting a home run. And I think that changes the way you pitch to Cabrera.
Let's go to the starting rotation. Here we are again now. All you lost was Fister. Verlander, Scherzer, Sanchez, Porcello, Smiley. Sounds okay to me. Sounds all right. As long as Justin Verlander's pitching like he did at the end. As long as Max has a year.
No, Justin Verlander's coming off an injury. I don't know.
So you don't think that will happen?
I don't know. And you know what? Pitched well against the teams he has pitched well against in the postseason. I saw some alarming things last year during the regular season. And until I see him do that and pitch like he pitched at the end of the season against everybody, not against Oakland, who he has their number, I'm not buying it.
Well, the one thing about Verlander is we all know that the fastball is at least down at least a mile or two off what he had in the past. And when you lose a mile or two, when you rely on that heater, when you bring that heavy pill in like that, I'm reminded of that when I saw Joel Zamaya said he's going to finally retire. I thought he retired 4 years ago, but okay, fine. And I'm thinking, wow, what Zamaya and Verlander had when they came into the league in 2006 was ungodly. Well, I saw Larry Sorensen post a thing on Facebook. Larry said, did Zamaya really have ungodly talent, or was he just a guy who was good at, for a bit and just never knew how to handle his own skill level? And you can make a case that you don't know how good he really was because he ruined himself so fast, whereas Verlander didn't take that route. Remember, between the two, Zamaya was supposed to be the starter. Zamaya did not relieve in the minors. He was a starter in the minors his entire 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. I think he only had 2 relief appearances, and that was his first 2 ever. And then he was a starter. People forget this in 2005. We were talking about Zamaya as the guy, not Verlander at that time.
Yeah, but Verlander was a first pick. I mean, it was a first.
No, round. Verlander was. Don't get me wrong.
Oh.
But we saw what Zamaya was doing, and in 2005, when they brought Verlander up, and he had the 2 horrible appearances, and Alan Trammell was mortified by how he looked. When 2006 began, the talk was go back and look. It was Joel Zamaya. He's got the 103. He's got the gun. This is the guy who's got. It was supposed to be both his starters, and it was Jim Leland who said one's got to go to the pen, and he pushed Zamaya to the bullpen. He's the one that made that move. Not Dombrowski. It was Leland. So between Porcello staying and Drew Smyly, do you think there is a hit here because you don't know how Verlander is going to look?
Yeah, there's a hit not only with Verlander, but those 2 guys you just mentioned. I'm sorry. I'm just not a Rick Porcello guy. I mean, everybody you tell me
you
about.
You know I am.
He wins 14 games a year. That's nice. He just doesn't do it for me. If you talk about, again, a first-round pick. He wasn't in the 4th round or some guy who he was supposed to be on par.
He was supposed to be the number 1.
Okay, that's what I.
But because Boris was his agent, the number came way down, and nobody wanted to take a chance on paying a high school kid.
Right. Yeah. But do you know what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the year before, he led the American League in hits allowed. He gives up a lot of hits, and I know he wins. He has a high ERA. I'm not impressed with a guy whose ERA is 4.5 or 5 as a guy who was a first round pick. That doesn't impress me.
First game is Tuesday, February 25th against Rob's favorite college, Florida Southern. And the next day, the 26th, they'll actually be at Wide World of Sports at Disney taking on the Braves. So that's February 26th. There are no tickets available. If you're heading down to spring training or to Disney World, you cannot watch that game. That game is already a sellout. Other baseball, the Alex Rodriguez lawsuit has been dropped. He's going to sit out 2014 and come back with a vengeance at 39 and 15.
Well, you know what? I think he just did the math. $10 million is going to cost to defend this thing, right? And he's going to lose $25 million for the season. How much is that? $35? Do you really want to give up another $10 million after you're going to lose $25?
No, but now let's get to the non-money part of the story. I mean, I guess he could hold to that, but doesn't he now get branded as Alex? You knew that you couldn't win.
No.
No matter how much you paid.
I don't think so. I think that was all real. I don't think it was a threat. You don't go through all that. He had big-time lawyers. I don't think that's you're threatening to sue somebody. I just think.
Well, make the case, Rob, that $10 million. Who cares?
No,
when you have that kind of jack.
Who cares? Not when somebody sits down and says.
First of all, $10 million for those attorneys.
Yes.
You're getting fleeced.
That's what it is. I just think the money thing set in, and remember,
you should have used John Lawyer.
You got to also remember. With an O. He's got to be cheaper because his name is
L-O-Y-E-R instead of L-A-W-Y-E-R.
Yeah, but that's what I think it is. I think it's a financial thing.
All right, well, we'll see what Alex Rodriguez looks like in 2015. Have fun there, dude.
Yeah.
Have a good time. You know, have a nice sit-out. See what happens with the Yankees, too. Bernie Smilovitz's favorite thing is starting tomorrow. Actually, it's been going on a couple of days, but the actual show itself, the big-time stuff, you want to tell everybody again, Rob, what that is that Bernie loves?
You knew what I was. You know I was barking before.
I didn't know what.
You didn't know what that was. You thought I was having a spasm or something.
I thought the cake got to you.
How's that again, Rob? How was that again? You might want to record this, people.
Sorry.
That's Rob Parker doing his dog imitation.
I'm dogging it.
It's the Westminster Dog Show, the 138th version in New York City. More than 3,000 dogs are a part of this. Johnny Avello is the big odds maker out in Las Vegas.
Johnny Avello used to be on when I did the show with Stoney. He was our handicapped.
Yeah, he's still out there.
That's 20 years ago. He was.
Yeah. Well, he's at the Wynn still in Las Vegas, and he's still the top, pretty much the top handicapper out there. He has made his picks, so I'm just going to give them to you in case you want to bet on the Westminster Dog Show.
Well, they're allowing mutts now. It's the first year. It's the first year they're allowing
mutts. Do you know that?
What are you, the Westminster Insider?
Yeah. Is that what are your
my moles?
Your pooch moles tell you?
They're allowing
what are your doggy police
not,
telling
not, you? They're allowing him in the competition, maybe not for
what is your canine crew telling
canine
you?
Canine crew, I like that. That's what I heard, that they're letting mutts in. You just have to be a purebred.
Well, he has picked the Portuguese water dog, which is Obama's dog. It's the dog that the president has with the two girls. That's their preference of pet. The Portuguese water dog, John, is listed at 8-1.
Get Bernie on the phone, please. I got to make a bet.
Johnny Avello.
Was that we just read up to the top right there.
Mutts competed Westminster Dog Show for first time.
Thank you very much.
You know what? You're
you
sad.
Can't believe that.
Wait a second. The guy won't watch any Winter Olympics, but he knows that mutts are competing in the Westminster.
Mark, are you impressed that I even threw that out there?
Yes, that you had any knowledge or info about the Westminster.
He's the Westminster insider. Just, you know.
Look, it's on the top.
His canine crew.
The canine crew.
So the Portuguese water dog is 8-1. The wire fox terrier is 10-1. The old English sheepdog is 12-1. Now, last year's winner was Banana Joe. He was an Affin pincher. Johnny Avello had him at 250-1 last year. So an underdog won that. Pardon the pun. An underdog won the dog show. So if you put 10 bucks down at 250-1, you would have made some coin. At 2,000-1 at the bottom of the list is the Glen Terrier, the Belgian Malinois, and the Redbone Coonhound. Those are the ones that are listed at 2,000-1. That's the Westminster Dog Show. If you watch Channel 4 news between the Olympics, you will see Bernie run highlights of the Westminster. He loves that damn thing. And I don't blame him. It's fun to watch. It's a good time. Okay. So Olympics, Bernie, Dog Show. Just throwing it out there. Tiger Woods didn't win any golf tournaments this weekend, but his niece did. She now has won more than Tiger this year. Cheyenne Woods, who is 23, and by the way, gorgeous. Have you seen her?
No.
Cheyenne Woods. This is Tiger Woods' half-brother's sister, daughter.
The power of the Google.
Anyhow, Cheyenne, 1600 par 276 total to win the Australian Ladies Masters by two. She missed the cut to make the LPGA Tour full-time at the Q School. She wins only 51 grand for that tournament down in Australia, but a two-year exemption on the Euro Tour, which is different than her uncle because Tiger blew off Pebble Beach, and I can understand it. He got $2 million to make. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Did you show Rob?
I didn't see.
Look at Cheyenne Wood. This is Tiger Woods' niece. Huh? Oh,
you want to get the magnifying glass
out? I know, right? Wait a minute.
Yeah, get. Oh, here we go. He's actually get the magnifying
with
glass.
With glasses. Oh,
my God. You are a sick pup, man.
What about a picture like this?
We want 3D?
Yeah, they're coming closer to me.
All right. Put that back.
I'm sorry.
$2 million to play in a skins game in India. That's why he blew off the Pebble Beach, the old Crosby Clam Bake in Pebble Beach. Jimmy Walker won again. Guy's won three times this season on the PGA Tour. He beat Wayne Gretzky's daughter's boyfriend / fiance Dustin Johnson by a shot. In fact, Dustin Johnson played with Wayne Gretzky in the Pro-Am. But Jimmy Walker, you know, lest you're not watching Tiger, others have passed you. Jordan Spieth is unbelievable.
And she's riding a tiger.
Oh, yeah, she is doing that in that picture. Those are some good photos you found of Cheyenne Woods. Those are nice.
She
wants to be a model, too, man. She's not stupid. That's where the money is. We already talked about Tiger last week, though. We made our predictions whether Tiger would win a major in 2014. What did you say again, Rob?
Yes, he's going to win one.
Rob said yes. I said no.
No.
But you know what? I just think it's terrible for the PGA Tour that Tiger blows off things like Pebble Beach. He never used to. But for $2 million to go to India, and by the way, he lost the skin game, naturally. Daytona 500 qualifications, if you can believe it, are already this weekend.
Speed week.
Yeah, speed week out in Daytona. Sunday, the quals. Race will be on the 23rd. Budweiser Twin Spins on Thursday the 20th. So that's beginning for all our NASCAR peeps. Rob, anything to say to the NASCAR folks?
Who
I'd love to do a promotable on. Anything you want to say?
I'll get you next time.
Okay, Rob, he'll hit you up. You Matt Kenseth fans, you Jimmy Johnson fans, you Kyle Busch fans, he'll hit you up next time. But it's that's an indication that spring is on the way.
Yes.
When the Daytona 500 is upon us. I'll be on the Detroit Sports Podcast Wednesday. That's what I wanted to mention about my media riffraff.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
The Detroit Sports Podcast, 7:30. These guys do a nice job, actually. I think their podcast might be in touch better. Don't know.
What you talking about, Mark?
Saying. They have a nice little website and everything, but I'll be on Skype with that. And I wanted to end this, Rob, though, by getting your thoughts on the, since we were doing a little TV business, your thoughts on the end of the Jay Leno era on The Tonight Show.
I actually watched it. I know we were talking, and you not taped it. You DVR'd. DVR'd it.
We don't call tape.
I know. You DVR'd it.
DVR'd it, Rob.
And
digital age.
I got you. I thought the last show was great. I thought it, once again, showed that he really doesn't want to go anywhere, but NBC told him thank you, but no thank you. He was really touched by it, but I thought
what do they say when they tell you to go?
What?
It's time to go.
It's time to go, right. That's what they did.
No argument. Time to go. When they tell you to go, it's time to go. Got to go.
Yep. Right? I mean, it was very heartfelt. You could see it, but I thought...
I almost cried with him at the end there when he had that... He was starting to...
Yeah.
He did this number where he almost looked defeated.
Yeah, he was.
He looked defeated.
Like, he was like... Really? Okay, I guess.
I think that Leno will be back.
I don't.
On what though, John?
No, they said that he was offered another job.
At NBC?
No. At another network.
I don't care about job offers.
Oh, another network.
There's no spot for him to do what he wants to do. He's not going to do this 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock thing. He tried that.
11:30. You can put him on Fox.
But you don't understand. He's not a Fox would be making a terrible mistake. That's not their audience.
But you know what? That's why Fox has never done national news. They've never done the talk show. I mean, I guess Joan Rivers was very early on. That was the only one they ever did. That's it.
What's Arsenio on? Is he on the WB or something?
No, a syndicated.
Just a syndicated show to various places, though? Is that what he's
on? Some WBs have picked it up, but I don't think it's...
No, it's not.
What was Arsenio on the first time? Wasn't it Fox?
It was Fox.
Was it Fox?
Yeah, it was Fox.
20 years ago?
Was it Fox?
Yeah. I could have sworn it was Fox.
It was Joan Rivers that did name.
That was their.
But he took over. But
yeah, but that was their foray into the late night, and they never got back.
But he take over Joan Rivers, or did he take over Magic?
No, Joan Rivers. Over who? Who'd you say?
Magic Show.
Magic Hour. No, I think the Magic Hour followed him.
Yeah, it was.
Magic did the Magic Hour after Arsenio Show.
Yeah. You guys are.
Rob, Arsenio's been gone 20 years. When he even talks about that in his new show, that it was a 20-year break. He came on Leno and talked about his 20-year break. The Magic Show wasn't 94 because everyone was still trying to play. I think it was like, when was the Magic Show? It was so innocuous and so poor and so lame.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, what was the year? 96? Maybe.
Arsenio Hall show ran from 89 to 94.
Okay.
On.
And Magic? The Magic Hour. Wasn't that good? Irvin was such good with the monologues.
This one I don't remember, just barely. He was also known for his appearance as Alan Thicke's sidekick on The Thick of the Night. Do you remember that?
Arsenio was?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
I don't remember that. All right, here we go. Talk show. In 1986, Fox introduced The Late Show. It was called The Late Show with starring Joan Rivers.
Right.
All right. After moderate started ratings sag behind the scenes or whatever they had a fight. Rivers left in 87.
The most impressive part of this is that Rob knows how to Wikipedia stuff on his phone.
Unbelievable now. 87. It was changed the name of the show to The Late Show. Featured several hosts. Ross Schaefer, Suzanne Somers, Richard Belzer, and Robert Townsend.
Yeah, they kind of rotated people, yes.
Before it was canceled in 1988. Hall was also chosen to host the show in the fall of 87. Stint provider immensely popular. See, I told you, it was he took over his show.
We agreed.
Which eventually led to Hall landing his own show in syndication. Okay. Okay, you're right.
You didn't come up with the Magic Hour yet, though.
Okay, let me look.
We have to know. It was so good. It was so good.
Actually, the Magic Hour was syndicated from June 8th, 1998 to September 4th, 1998.
So it was 98. It was as late as 98 as we were approaching.
Which is 4 years after Arsenio Hall went off.
Yeah, but I think you were talking about it being earlier.
No, Arsenio Hall went off in 94, and that's 98.
Luke Magic.
It was only on for how many months? 3 months?
Just a few months. They even changed sidekicks once.
It was like,
they had a white guy.
And then Tommy Davidson.
The white guy. They had a white guy. I don't remember.
What was the white guy's name?
What
was the white guy's name?
Mark, are you black or are you white?
He's still out there. He's like a big comedian.
Marcos, what's the white guy's name?
I can't remember his name. I have a hard time remembering. 98 was the
Craig
Magic.
Shoemaker.
Shoemaker, that was it. He's still around. He's still doing his thing. All right, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening. What do you got going this week? What you got? No Channel 4, though, during the Olympics, right?
Yep, no Sports Final Edition for 3 weeks while during the Olympics.
So you get Sundays off.
Yeah, for the next couple of weeks, which is good. I'll be able to recharge, get some new glasses. I'll be good.
And maybe, you know, go to dinner with a hottie. A hottie potato.
Can you see?
No. Those are horrible. What are those?
No, you need those real big ones.
Jesus.
Fools.
Seriously, look how bad they are, boy.
Oh my God. I feel like I got no problems with my eyes. Look at those.
Wow, I can see the future.
Yeah.
When did you get those?
3 years ago. I just went in to get a new pair.
That's brutal.
I can't even see.
Yeah, you're a mess. You're like an old man now. You should have seen the picture, though, of Rob with the glasses and the magnifying glass.
I told you.
Just to see Cheyenne Wood's picture.
You should have taken that picture, John. Send
that was pretty good.
That's a classic. Come on.
So, you got Shadow League. What do you got?
Come on.
Shadow League, what do you got?
Take that picture.
And the show. And the podcast.
All right, okay. Yeah, Shadow League, of course, every Monday we got a fresh column on www.shadowleague.com. And, of course, click on Detroit.com. I'll have more about the Mo Cheeks firing and... of course, Sports Final Edition after a three-week break.
And don't forget that I've got the piece on the sports pop culture thing in Sports Talk Radio as it relates to the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show 50th anniversary and where it stands today, how it translates, and Mo Cheeks firing as well right here on the Parker and the Man website, parkerandtheman.com. Check us on Twitter, Facebook, and also email us if you like at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com, and you can win an ESPN Detroit T-shirt. I still have one to give away. Couple of giveaways, to be honest. And we had no winner this week, basically because I don't think I checked. So I'll have to start doing again. I think we had a winner, but I don't remember who it was.
Winner,
so whoever's the first one in the inbox will do that. Dude, it's you're killing me with that.
Oh, God.
John, did you have a nice time?
Yes, I did.
Always. He always has a good time.
John, what do you got to promote? Anything?
I got nothing to promote.
I got nothing.
He just came back from 2 weeks in California.
What were you doing in California?
Well, I was just working. Working?
Yeah, amazing.
You know what?
Enjoying the weather.
I think he's got some weird government gig. I think he's like a spy. I never really know what John does. I think he's a spy for the Hughes Corporation.
I went to his office once, and there's like 8 floors empty, and it's just him.
It's like a desk. He's got a desk. Here's what he has. He has a desk, a phone, and there's a picture of Obama.
And it's like eight floors empty in a huge building.
Thanks, Obama. That's become like a standard thing now. Thanks, Obama.
As long as he has his health care, he's good.
Okay. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. He's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. And you know what, Mark?
We'll see you next time, yes?
And we'll see you later.